From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome you to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. I do count it a privilege and a pleasure to be able to be here to bring the message from the Word of God. If you have a Bible, we invite you to turn with us, please, to the Word of God, to the New Testament Scriptures, to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 9 through to verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. The Word of God says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Amen, and may God bless the reading of his own inspired and his infallible word to all our hearts. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer and pray for God's blessing to be attendant upon the preaching of his word. Our Father and our God, we thank thee again that we can come into thy most holy and sacred presence in our Saviour's name. We thank thee afresh tonight for the gospel of Christ, and we thank thee, Lord, that like the apostle we can say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We thank thee, Lord, for the word of God that we have in our own language, that we can read for ourselves. We praise thee for the blessed Holy Spirit of God, who will lead us and guide us and teach us all things. And our Father, we pray that as thy word would go forth, that it may not be just with the words of a preacher's wisdom, but it may be in the power of God the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Bless each one who will hear thy word. We pray, Lord, thou wouldst give the hearing ear and the understanding heart. And grant, O God, that as the Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, giveth wisdom even unto the simple. We pray that some dear man or woman, boy or girl, young person, hearing the word of God, may come personally and savingly to that knowledge of sins forgiven, to find redemption through the precious blood of Christ, be born again of the Spirit of God into the kingdom of our God and his Christ. So we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be with us now, shut us in with thyself, pour out thy Spirit upon us, and bless thy word as it goes forth, for we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Now, I have been reading God's word in the epistle from Paul to the Colossians, and you'll notice that in the first verse of this opening chapter, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. And I love the way that Paul says in the second verse, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Paul was giving thanks for the people of God. He was talking to those, the saints of God, who were in the church in Colossae, the city of Colossae. And of course, it reminds us of that twofold location, if you like. The Bible says they are in Christ. That is their spiritual standing. They are saved by the grace of God, redeemed by precious blood, and they are in Christ. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things become new. But not only do they have a spiritual location, they are in Christ, redeemed by his blood, but their geographical location is the church there in Colossae, where they lived, where they labored, where they worshipped, where they sought to maintain the testimony for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every time I read words like that, I am reminded of the great apostle John, when he could say in the book of the Revelation that he was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. But then he could say also, not only was I on the Isle of Patmos, but he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And it's good to be saved and wherever we are, as the little children's chorus says, you in your small corner and I in mine, there we seek to serve the Lord Christ. In verse 3, Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Why was he praying for them? He says in verse 4, because we heard of your faith. He says in verse 4, not only of your faith, but your love, which you have to all the saints. Verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So Paul says he's giving thanks to God for this New Testament church, this body of believers in the city of Colossae who have faith, who have love, who have a blessed hope in their heart, and it all came about by the word of the truth of the gospel, the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now in the New Testament, the gospel is referred to sometimes as called the gospel of Christ. Sometimes it's called the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, when he spoke about the gospel, he spoke about it affectionately and he called it my gospel. It's described in another verse that it's the everlasting gospel. And we read also that the Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel of his kingdom. And it's that theme that I want to think with you for a moment or two. In verse 13, Paul says of the church at Colossae, these people who were saved by the grace of God, he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And Paul is reminding the believers, the church at Colossae, that they are part of the kingdom of God. They have been born again of the Spirit of God into the fold and the family of God. Great old Ulster evangelist called W.P. Nicholson, he used to say in his meetings that the trouble is with men and women that many people pray Our Father on Sunday morning and then they live like orphans the rest of the week. But in that wonderful prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, remember the petition is, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so Paul says these people who have come to know the Savior, who are in the body of Christ, who are in the kingdom of God, he says there was a time in their experience when they had what we might describe as a point of realization. A point of realization. Verse 13 says, He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You'll notice that the Bible reminds us here that there is the kingdom or the power of darkness. There is one who is called the Prince and the power of the air. There is one who is called the God of this world, who hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine in. There is Satan's kingdom. It is a kingdom of darkness, because Paul says here, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. It's a kingdom of spiritual deadness. The apostle wrote to the church at Ephesus and he said, You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Men and women may have life, physical life. They may be able to go about their business. They may be able to enjoy and indulge themselves in the pleasures of this world. But the Bible says all the while they are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. And that awful kingdom is a kingdom of dominion. The thief, Jesus said, cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. The devil is a liar, the father of lies, even from the very beginning. And my men and women who are held captive by the devil at his will, who are in his kingdom, they are under his dominion and under his power. And whatever that addiction might be to the sins of this world, he has them in his hand. He tightens the grasp. They are spiritually dead. They are in darkness. They are under his dominion. And so it is today that many people think like those people in the days of the judges, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And they're a law unto themselves. And they want to do whatsoever they want. They think they have freedom. But when a man or woman comes to Christ, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. The truth of the word of the gospel. And the truth shall set you free. Men and women think they have liberty. Think they have freedom. But the church at Colossae, these people realized there was a point, there was a moment of time, a point of realization when they realized there is Satan's kingdom, but thank God there is the kingdom of God's dear Son. And his kingdom is a kingdom of light. God hath translated us from the power of darkness into the light of the gospel. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus, he was that true light that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. When the Bible speaks about light, intellectually it means knowledge. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of being a Christian. Morally, it speaks about purity and purity of life. All the opposite to the things that men and women do in darkness, in their sin and in their wickedness and in their rebellion against God. And of course, spiritually, it means that we are saved by the grace of God. We become children of light. There was a point of realization when those believers who meet in Colossae, when they realized they were walking under the power of sin and Satan, they received Christ and the word of the truth of the gospel. They were born again of the Holy Spirit, and they were children of light, and they began to follow the one who is the light of the world and to bring his message to their city and to their locality. But you'll notice there's not only a point of realization that there are two kingdoms. I wonder, dear friend, as you listen to the word of God, do you realize that? And I ask you, whose kingdom are you in? Who are you serving? Are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you living for self and for sin and for the world? But you'll notice not only a point of realization, but you'll notice the marks of personal identification. Because each individual belongs either to the kingdom of our God and his Christ, or they're walking in darkness in the things of this world. Remember how the Bible reminds us that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The Bible says we are in this kingdom naturally because of natural birth. We were born in sin, the scripture says, and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mother conceive us. We are sinners by birth, we are sinners by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. We are sinners by practice. I remember one day visiting a young couple. They had just had a lovely new baby boy, and of course everyone was speaking about, who is the little baby boy like? Is he like the mommy? Is he like the daddy? And I remember the father saying, I know who he's like. He's like Adam, our first parent, because every one of us born into this world, sons and daughters of Adam's fallen and sinful race, with that Adamic nature in our lives. He was our federal head, and we're sinners by birth, by nature, by practice. But when we think about the marks of personal identification, thank God for those who are in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means there's a spiritual birth. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And if we ever want to get to heaven, Nicodemus learned a lesson when he came to Jesus by night. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must receive me as your own and personal Savior. You must have a life that is changed. And the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There are so many in our nation, so many across the world, and they have heard the gospel of Christ. They have maybe heard it from their earliest days as children, from their mother's knee. They have heard it from a faithful Sunday school teacher. They have heard it from a faithful pastor or evangelist. They have heard it in some great crusade or some smaller mission. And they know about the Lord Jesus. And they know about his birth in Bethlehem. They know about his sinless, impeccable life upon this earth. They know about his death on the old rugged cross of Calvary. They know about his shedding his precious blood, and that he bore our sins and his own body on the tree there at Calvary. They know the story that they laid him in the tomb. They know also that on the third day he rose again triumphant over sin and death and hell and the grave. They know about his ascension. They know that one day he's coming back again in power and glory. And they know all these things, but they don't know him. As far as personal identification is concerned, they have never received the Lord Jesus Christ into their own heart and life. They have never been born again of the Holy Spirit of God. They have never known Christ. They know about him. They have a head knowledge, but they have no heart knowledge. I remember one of our ministers preached a sermon on missing heaven by 18 inches, talking about the distance from the center of our brain to our heart. That many have a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge, not a reception of the Lord Jesus. But then you'll notice what Paul says here in verse 13. There's a point of realization. There's personal identification. But thank God for that powerful translation. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Thank God for those who have experienced such a change. We can sing with the hymn writer, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. My, there was a change in our situation. We were like those children of Israel who for 430 years or generations they were down in the land of Egypt, and they were in bondage and they were slaves and they were enslaved there. But on the night of the Passover, through the shed blood of the Lamb, they were delivered by the mighty power of God, and God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and their situation was changed. And thank God, those of us who were once enslaved, ensnared by sin, because of the blood of Calvary's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the apostle says it here in verse 14, in whom, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Through Christ, we have forgiveness. As verse 20 says, he has made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And that's a powerful translation and a powerful change of situation. And you'll notice that Paul enumerates some of the terrible things in verse 21. He says, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Oh, once we were filled with sin and Satan and the things of this world and the flesh and wicked works, we were alienated, we were enemies, but he hath reconciled us to God through the precious blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. There's a change in our situation. Thank God there's a change in our expectation. If we were children of wrath, even as others, the wrath of God would abide upon us. But the Bible says there in John 3:36 that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe on him, then thank God we have eternal life, we have everlasting life. But if we do not believe, the wrath of God abideth upon us. And thank God for that wonderful change of expectation. We have a hope of heaven. You notice what the Bible says there in verse 27 at the end of the verse. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Dear friend, is Christ in you? Are you in his kingdom? Are you a member of his body, that is the church? Have you that blessed hope in your heart and life that one day when this fleeting life is over, you will be in heaven with Christ? Or is there a fearful looking for judgment? Because the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know him as your own and personal Savior? Are you in his kingdom? Are you watching and waiting and looking for him? May God bless his word to our hearts. We're just going to close at a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for the simple message of the gospel. We thank thee for those who know thee as Savior, who are redeemed by precious blood. And for those who still know thee not, we pray that even through the message they may come to know him, whom to know is life eternal, that they may be translated from that kingdom, from the power of darkness, into the kingdom of light and of God's dear Son. So bless thy word, we pray. May it prosper in the things whereinto thou hast sent it. For we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.